John chapter 12 as we continue our study through the Gospels. If you could find John chapter 12 and verse 31, if you find your place there, would you please stand with me to honor the reading of God's Word tonight? I trust that you had a good afternoon. I know many of you are very tired this week after a week of camp and work and all kinds of things going on. And so I just want to encourage you to give God's Word due attention tonight. We are it's all God's Word, but we are literally studying some of the last things that Jesus taught before he would go to the cross, and it's extremely vital that we understand these truths. Now, we're going to focus on verses 31, 32, and 33, but I want you to back up to verse 30, if you would, please, and just to get the context right here in the midst of this dialogue that the Lord's saying. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I just thank you so much for your incredible love, your amazing love, your wonderful love that you've shown to us through the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray for everyone here that we would gain a deeper understanding of your great love for us, that we would love you more. And Father, I pray for anyone who hears this message tonight that's never been born again, that they would understand that Jesus was lifted up for them. That he was nailed to that old rugged cross for them. That he shed his blood to take away their sin. And I pray the unsaved would hear the truth tonight of the gospel. And they would humble themselves before you and simply cry out in faith, trusting in Jesus, and be saved tonight. I pray for those who are saved, you to remind us of what you've done for us and help us to love you and serve you faithfully. Lord, not only to believe, but to continue in your word. By your grace and by the power of your Spirit, we rejoice in the prayers that you've answered, and we pray you'll continue to help, for we're nothing without you. And Lord, I pray you'll bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We spent a little bit of time last week talking about the voice from heaven and all that Jesus said, and the Father said, but tonight we're going to focus on the judgment of this world. The prince of this world being cast out, and in particular Jesus, when he says, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I want to speak to you first about the judgment that he speaks of. The judgment of Jesus, this is the justice that he would bring in. This word judgment is the Greek word krisis, or we might say crisis, and it has the idea of justice. So what Jesus is saying, not necessarily that he's going to pour out judgment on the earth at this time, but at this time, justice is going to be served. And this justice would be done is the reason that the justice that he would accomplish on the cross is the reason that you and I can stand before God justified today. The death of Jesus Christ and the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, his sinless sacrifice, God himself dying for mankind, is justice because it pays the price that sin demands, that the law demands of our sin. Justice would be done. Now is the judgment of this world. Now justice would come to the world. Now Jesus would go on in chapter 12, verse 47, and he would say, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And so it's interesting when you look at the different ways Jesus would talk about the judgment of the world. He said, judgment is come to the world. Then he would later say, "I didn't come to judge the world." And what's the point? The point is that Jesus didn't come the first time to pour out judgment. There will come a time that he will come to pour out judgment. But he came the first time not to bring judgment, but to take the judgment on himself, to be the justifier of all who believe. He came to pay the price for the sins of the world. Jesus, if you would, turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 25. This isn't in our text tonight. This isn't the first time that Jesus pairs these ideas of judgment and being lifted up together. He did it back in chapter 8 and verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus came not to judge, but he wanted to give judgment. He wanted to bring justice into the world, and he said that was going to happen when he was lifted up. And we understand that when Jesus talked about being lifted up, he was referring to being lifted up, and he gave that picture, you remember, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. God had sent fiery serpents to judge the people, and they were deadly serpents. When you got bitten by them, you would die. And so the people cried out for deliverance. And God said, Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent. I want you to set it on a pole. And I want you to tell the people that if they will, by faith, look to that brazen serpent, they will be healed. And Jesus pointed back to that. When he prophesied of his own crucifixion, he said, it's going to be like Moses lifted up the serpent. I'll be lifted up. And if you look to me, I'll save you. If you by faith would look to the crucified Savior, if you would look to Jesus who died for you, you can have salvation. You say, that doesn't really make sense that God would save them by looking to a brazen serpent. Well, does it really make sense in our human understanding that God would be crucified on a Roman cross? Listen, God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. The way that God works doesn't necessarily make sense to us, but it's not our job to understand it. It's our job to believe and obey. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if your sins have never been forgiven, then all you need to do is by faith look to the Savior who was lifted up to die for your sins. He came to bring justice into the world, and he would do that by being lifted up. In Psalm chapter 9, Psalm 9, the ninth Psalm, verses 6 through 10, Psalm 9, 6. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Listen, this world is full of wickedness, but Jesus came to judge in righteousness. This world is full of trouble, but he came to deliver those who would come to him in their time of trouble. And he judges in righteousness. And he judges in truth and uprightness. And listen, I'm telling you that when you know his name, you can put your trust in him, and his name is Jesus. And he came to bring justice to the world. He came to be lifted up for your sin and for mine. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Acts 17:30, Paul's preaching at Mars Hill in Athens. And in the middle of his sermon, towards the end of his message, he says, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's talking to pagans about their pagan worship, and he said, God has been long-suffering to you, and God has put up with a lot from you, and God has not poured out his wrath on you like he could. But I'm telling you, Paul says now Jesus has come in the last days, and Jesus has died. He has poured out his blood to take away your sins, and God's not putting up with anything anymore. You must repent or you will perish. Judgment is coming from God, and if you don't turn from your sin and trust in him, you will die forever. But he loves you, and he died for you, and he's given judgment to the Son. All judgment is given to the Son. John chapter 5, verse 22. John chapter 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that hath sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ not only created all things, but as Adam was disobedient and brought death to the world, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, he came and he was obedient in every way, and he brings life to all who believe. And so all judgment is given to the Son, not only by virtue of the fact that he is God himself, but by virtue of the fact that he came to be the Savior of the world. And God the Father gives all judgment to the Son. Life is in the hand of Jesus because he's the one who brought judgment into the world. And can I just point you back to that glorious verse, verse 24? Brother Ben and Brother Silas got to go into a man's house this afternoon, and they got to share the gospel with that man, and that man prayed and trusted Jesus as his Savior today. And this is one of the verses that Brother Ben shared with the man. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Can I just ask you real quick? We talk about the tense of a verb, present tense, past tense, or future tense. But when you notice that word hath is in present tense, and when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you now have everlasting life. This is a tremendous truth, and it's a truth that you ought to rejoice in tonight, because it's not that one day God's going to decide whether or not to give you eternal life. If you believe in his Son, if you trust in his Son now, you have everlasting life now. And can I just remind you one more time that eternal life lasts forever. And if it doesn't last forever, then it's not eternal life. But what Jesus gives is everlasting life. And because God knows that we're hard-headed and we don't pay attention very much, he gives us some more truth here. Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You know what that is? That's future tense. When you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life right now. And in the future, you will not be condemned. You ought to be excited right now. Listen, I talk to so many people in our community, so many people everywhere I go, and they think that their salvation is dependent on them. Well, you got to believe, but you also have to live it. Listen, I think you ought to live it, but not so that you can keep it, but because he's given it to you. Listen, you can't be good enough to earn your salvation. You can't be good enough to keep your salvation. It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on the one who was lifted up on the cross for you. He's the one that took the judgment. He's the one that justifies. It's faith in Jesus that justifies you, because he is the justifier, because he brought judgment to the world. He's the one that took the condemnation of our sin in his body. That is, his flesh was torn to pay for our sins. And if you trust in him, you have everlasting life, and you will not come into condemnation. And listen, I talked to a lot of young people this past week, and they're having a real hard time wrestling with repentance and exactly what that means. And they're like, I got these things in my life. I'm having a hard time giving up. And I said, listen, man, you can't give it up until you're saved. You've got to have a desire to give it up, but you can't overcome sin when you're yet in your sins. You have to be saved from your sin and have the Spirit of God in you before you'll ever have victory over sin. Is everybody with me right now? Listen, repentance is a change of your mind. It doesn't mean that you become perfect. Listen, the idea that you got to be perfect before you can be saved is nonsense. If you could be perfect, then why would you need to be saved? But you have to have a desire. And more than anything else, you have to believe. You have to trust in Him. And He says, will not in the future come into condemnation, but is presently passed from death unto life. The moment you trust in Jesus, He gives you life. He gives you life. You're not dead anymore, but now you have life. I want to tell you, this judgment that Jesus brings, it does some things. Number one, this judgment separates. The judgment that Christ brought, His lifting up on the cross, it brings separation. To some people, did you know that the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness? Did you know that? Scriptures tell us some people look at Jesus, the crucified Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, that all those Christians are following. They look at the cross and they say that's foolishness to them. Some people look at the cross of Jesus just like the Pharisees did, and it's a stumbling block to them. They don't understand how God could die. There's some Islamic people here in our town, some Muslim people that I've talked to, and they say God would not allow His Son to die. The cross is a stumbling block to them. But I'm here to tell you it is not a stumbling block, and it's not foolishness, but the cross of my Savior is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's not foolishness. It's not nonsense. It's not a stumbling block. Don't trip over it. God's prophesied from the very beginning that He would send a Savior who would die for the sins of the world. And as His heel was bruised, He would crush Satan on that cross. And that's what He did that day when He died. He said judgment has come, and that judgment separates. It separates. For some, it's a stumbling block. It's foolishness. For others, it's the wisdom and the power of God. Not only does it separate, but it satisfies. Jesus Christ in His death on the cross, when He was lifted up, He satisfied every perfect requirement of the law. Everything that God's perfect law demanded, Jesus paid when He died on the cross. That's why He could say, it is finished. The transgressions that you and I have committed, He paid for that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And the judgment that He brought not only separates, but the judgment that He brought satisfies. And I want to tell you, if you stop and think tonight for just a moment about the sins that you've committed, I don't know about you, but it's overwhelming to me to think about what I've done against the law of my God. I'm amazed. We use the law to bring conviction to sin. I ask people all the time, have you ever told a lie? Most of the time people say, yeah, I've lied, but who hasn't? Have you ever stolen anything? No. Even if it's small, well, probably. We're real flippant about our sins. Ever disobeyed your parents? Oh, yeah, who hasn't done that? Ever looked with lust? Oh, yeah, who hasn't done that? But when God's law starts to work in somebody's heart, it brings conviction. And I just want you to stop and think for a second. That the wrath of God was satisfied when He poured His wrath out on Jesus Christ. Not only does the judgment separate and satisfy, it secures. The payment of Jesus was full and final. Jesus fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. It's finished. It's paid in full. He died once for all. Hebrews tells us He was one offering, one sacrifice for sins forever. Jesus doesn't need to go back to the cross for you. He died once, and His death was enough. His payment secures us. Not only was His payment full and final, but His judgment fulfills the promise. I mentioned from the very beginning, God promised the woman's conquering seed would crush Satan's head. And now, as the cross draws near, now is that time when He would die, would come. Jesus says, now justice will come. Jesus would reclaim everything that was lost by the curse of sin. Now, the prince of this world will be cast out. The prince of this world is Satan. John 14:30 calls him the prince of this world. John 16:11, the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. And listen, when Adam sinned against God in the garden, he gave over the dominion of this earth to the devil, and Jesus won it back at Calvary. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that when we look to Jesus, the judgment of the world was come. Justice came into the world. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. H.A. Ironside told the story about the first gospel illustration that really made an impression on his heart. And you might have heard about it. The story's been told a few different ways. But when Ironside heard it, the story was told that there was a group of pioneers making their way across the central states of America, and they were headed out homesteading. They were finding places to end up. And as they were coming across a dry prairie, they saw a wall of smoke in the distance moving toward them. It didn't take them long to figure out it was a wildfire, and it was blowing right towards them, and they were all panicking. They had come over a river some time back, but it was too far away to get back to. They didn't know what to do until somebody told everybody to move up a little bit, and he lit a fire there in the prairie. And the fire burned all behind them. And when it got finished burning, they moved everybody into the place that had already burned. And there was a little child in the group as the fire got closer, and the child was scared to death and cried out, "Are we all going to get burned up?" And one of the men said, "My child, the flames cannot reach us here, for we are standing where the fire has been." And I want to tell you, friends, it's a perfect picture of what Christ has done for us. When the fire came to that group of homesteaders, they were safe because where they were standing had already been burned. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you're standing where the wrath of God has already been poured out. And the wrath of God cannot touch you, and the judgment of God cannot harm you. And the right judgment that you deserve, the justice that should be done on us, has already been poured out on Jesus. And His wrath cannot touch you because it already touched Jesus. The punishment that I deserve, He already took on Himself. The punishment that you deserve tonight's already been poured out on Him. And you will not face the wrath of God if your faith is in the Son of God. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus was lifted up. He was nailed to that cross and hoisted up. I think we'd do well to remember what Christ endured for us. That He, enduring the cross, despising the shame. Now, we know He today is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but can I just tell you that He was beaten for you? That He bled for you? I just want to remind you tonight that the Scripture says that our Savior, the Messiah, that His visage, His face was so marred that He didn't even look like a man. We hear stories about that from time to time. Somebody's in a horrific car accident. Their body's so mangled, they say you can't even tell it was a person. Jesus willingly did that for you. He took that crown of thorns on His head for you. They spit in His face. He did that for you. They mocked Him and ridiculed Him. He did that for you. They took our Savior and they nailed him to that cross and hoisted him up in front of everybody outside of the city. And he hung there bleeding. And he hung there naked. And he hung there bearing your shame and mine. He was lifted up so that he could draw all men unto himself. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And certainly this was fulfilled ultimately and above all in the death of Jesus, that he would draw all men. Now, some people make much of the fact that John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." But I just want to tell you that if God the Father draws is true. We wouldn't diminish that at all. But it's also true that Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And God the Father does the drawing, and Jesus the Son does the drawing. And in his death, he draws all men so that every man everywhere is commanded to repent because he died for all. And Hebrews tells us that when you hear the gospel, are you listening? When you hear the gospel, when you understand what Christ did for you, when you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to repentance and faith, and you reject Jesus, what you're doing is trampling under your feet the Son of God. What you're doing is despising the Spirit of grace that would give you life and forgiveness and freedom from sin. You're trampling on his feet. It reminds me of the old story. The old train drawbridge operator. I know you've heard it before, but in those days, the drawbridge had to be manually activated. When the drawbridge operator heard the train whistle in the distance, he would go into the control house and he would pull the lever and it would lower the bridge so that the train could come across. Well, one summer, his little boy had been begging him forever to get to go to work. "I want to go to work with you, Daddy. I want to go to work with you, Daddy. I want to go to work with you, Daddy." And he got there that morning with his dad and was so amazed by the controls and the gears and all the things that were going on in the control house, and it was so amazing. Then lunchtime came and the little boy got bored and he kind of went off to play. And about the time that the afternoon train would come, the man had lost a little track of time and he heard the whistle in the distance and he panicked because he didn't know where his son was. And as he ran to the control house, he began to look like he was supposed to at all the gears on the bridge before he would pull the lever. And there he saw his son playing in the gears of that bridge. He had seconds to decide. If he pulled the lever and lowered the bridge, his son would be crushed in the gears and he would die. But if he didn't pull the lever, that train load full of hundreds of people would crash off of the bridge and die. So he cried out to God for forgiveness and he pulled that lever. And his son was crushed in the gears. He ran out of that control house and he looked at the train going across the bridge with tears streaming from his eyes. He looked in the train and as they passed over, he saw them in the dining car drinking and eating and laughing, having the time of their lives. He said, "Don't you know what I've done for you? Don't you know the sacrifice that I've made for you?" You hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you reject him. I can only imagine God the Father saying, "Don't you know what I've done for you? Don't you understand what I've sacrificed for you?" I just want to encourage you tonight to remember what Christ has done. And if you've never trusted in him, understand his incredible love for you, his amazing love for you, his wonderful love for you, that you would trust in him. If you believe in him, He'll give you everlasting life, and you'll never come into condemnation. You can't be perfect. That's why we need a Savior. You can't live without sin. That's why He came. But if you'll trust in Him, He'll give you eternal life. Tonight I want to ask our musicians to come. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. He came to justify. What is justification? It's the purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned on the ground in the merits of the Savior. Christ died for you. You can be forgiven and set free. If you've never been saved, you could trust in Him tonight. If you are saved, you ought to let the world know, and you ought to do all that you can to reach others with the gospel. He's been lifted up. He's drawing you to Himself tonight. Will you trust in Him? And if you have trusted in Him, will you strive to live for Him with all your heart? Let's sing. Hey.